Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be looking primarily at one verse. And the lesson title today is The Power to Succeed. We have to think of success in terms of what the Bible says success really is. And this is the series called Transforming Truths. These are some truths that should impact our lives, should be life-changing to us as believers, should make us more valuable for the work of God and more surrendered, completely surrendering our bodies as we talked about, which is our reasonable service. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. While you're finding your place there, let me thank you for the anniversary celebration, 22 years, and thank you for your cards, and thank you for your gifts. My wife and I appreciate it very much, and we're glad that we're still able to stick around here at Worth Baptist Church, and we appreciate the pastor's graciousness to us to allow that to happen. All right, let's get into our lesson then, the power to succeed. In your life, in any of our lives, if we have more than three friends, or if we have at least three friends, we are indeed blessed. I mean, three close friends that we can really depend on. You stop and think about who your closest friends are right now. And all of us have at least that many, and if we do, we are very blessed. What makes a good friend? I would say honesty, wouldn't you? A friend who is not going to betray you, somebody you can trust. A friend who is very dependable, somebody you can depend on. That constitutes friendship. And there's some other characteristics, but those are some just to get the point across. But the dearest friend that all of us have would be what person? Jesus. Of all the friends we have, no matter how close they are, Jesus is our dearest friend, and He wants to be your dearest friend and closest friend. Jesus does. And Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's that? That's Jesus. And it's all right to call Him your friend. Don't forget He's your Lord, but it's all right to call Him your friend because He gave us permission and referred to Himself as our friend. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I have called you friends. So thank God Jesus is our friend if we're saved, and He is our friend forever. He's not a fair-weather friend. Have you ever had a fair-weather friend? As long as everything was going good between you and them, that was fine. But Jesus is not like that. He is our friend forever. And our text verse says, I can do all things through Christ. That's our friend, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things, and we'll talk about what the all things are in a minute. But whether we go through testing or whether we're facing temptation or any kind of challenges in our life, we have a friend that is there, and we can make it through those things. He may bring us through those things that we face if He's going to bring us to those things. And we don't always understand why He brings us to those things, but we do have the promise that whatever it be in His will, He will bring us through those particular things. Now, in your outline number one, the purpose. What is the purpose? Well, it's the word I. And that's an important little bitty letter, as we would call it. Have you ever sent a letter to somebody and you just put on there, on the front of the envelope, to whom it may concern? Or you went down to the post office and gave it to the guy there and said, put a stamp on it. Well, where do you want this to go? I don't care. Well, just send it anywhere you want to. Just get it in the mail, send it out anywhere you want to. They would look at you, and they would rightfully look at you as if you had lost your marbles, right? But the purpose of what God has said here is for us, and he had Paul to write this in prison so that we would hear it and so that we would know that it was to us personally and that it has a purpose. And so we have this information from the Lord, and it's not just sent to nobody for no reason. It is a person, and that's us, and it has a communication of a message. So God has a purpose, and that's the promise that he's given us, and that anything done through him that is something that we can succeed in if it's done through him. We have to do it through him. I can do all things through Christ. Now, the reason we fail to do that sometimes is we don't personally apply this to our lives. We don't claim that promise like we should sometimes by faith, and that's where we get in trouble. What we need to do is read the Bible promises. There again, you got to stay in the book. You've got to read the Bible. Some folks just don't read the Bible very much. They watch a lot of television. They do a lot of hobbies. They know a lot about sports, but we need to know about the Word of God. We need to spend some time in the Bible, and so we read the promises, and we ought to claim them. But the I there, when he says, I can, he's talking about you individually. Paul is talking about himself individually, and so it would be like in our class, Bill can, or Marvin can, or Lakita can, or Dorothy can, or Pat can, or you can. We can all do it. It's to us personally, and we have the right to claim those promises. So the purpose is me. The purpose is that I can do it, that I have the ability to do it through Christ's help. Secondly, the possibility. I can. In our text, I can. Sometimes we fail to do what we should do, and it's not because we can't, but it's because, listen to this now, we won't. It's not because we can't, it's because we won't do it. We have a lot of struggles, don't we? I mean, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. And just because you're a senior saint doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. In fact, you may have a few more, but We deal with our thought life. We deal with jealousy. We deal with bitterness. We deal with discontentment. We sometimes deal with pride. We often deal with worrying about everything. Sometimes we deal with food addictions and other things that are in our lives. We deal with these things that we have. And a lot of times Satan gets a stronghold if we're not careful, if we don't claim what God says that is for us. I can do it, not I can't. We feel like we can't, but we can. The truth is we can. What we have to do is let Christ rule. When he rules, then we can do it. And so we can overcome pride, bitterness. We can overcome being hurt and those things. What we have to do is turn them over to Christ. And when we do, it makes us better, and we can do it. And he is always there. And he's always willing to help us. He's a friend that's willing to help us. And so we have to accept that fact. Thirdly, the practice is do. That's in our text. I can do. So know the truth, but it's not enough to know the truth. You have to follow through with the truth. You have to obey the truth, follow the truth. And so we have the truth there in our text in Philippians 4:13. And, of course, that's New Testament. Now, it is, in your outline, a biblical practice. A biblical practice. And so we have the Old Testament heroes that we know had faith. And basically, it was really the same principle. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it's the same principle. We have to trust God and biblically practice these things. How about Noah? Do you think Noah had to have faith and trust God and believe that God was on his side, and he built a boat, took him 120 years to do that, Can you imagine everybody laughing at him and all that went on? But he had faith and knew that he could do it because God had told him to do it, and he knew he could do it. Same principle that we have. Joshua, the walls of Jericho, he had no problem with that. The walls came down, and because God wanted it to happen that way, and he trusted in the Lord. He had enemies. He had problems. But here's the thing about it. Joshua didn't throw up his hands and give up and quit. He trusted God, went on in spite of all of those things. He believed God. Solomon was given the commission to build what? The temple. Now, that's a pretty big project in that day. Believe you me, that was a massive undertaking to believe that he could get everybody to do it, get all the materials together, and build it like God told him to build it. But he understood that God had called him to do it, and God would provide. And there are other things, too. Hosea, can you imagine this? Can you men imagine God telling you to marry a harlot? Somebody who's not going to be true to you, somebody who's going to go out on you, somebody who's going to be with other men for years of her life. And yet, Hosea believed God. How did he get through that? He believed God. And God had told him why and a number of things that were there, but it was divine strength. So all of these, that's Old Testament. Now we come to modern times, we come to our times today. Today, it's you. It's not Moses, Noah, whatever, it's you. And so God calls you. If you're mistreated, God calls you to overcome the mistreatment, right? If you have health problems, God calls you to go through those health problems. Even if it comes to dying, God gives you dying grace. I've observed over the 50 years in the ministry, people that passed away while I was standing by their hospital bed or maybe in the room at their house. I can tell you, God gives dying grace. So we just have to believe him. We have to know. And that isn't easy. That's not easy at all. But we have to claim this verse. I can do all things, even die through Christ who strengtheneth me. And we can do that. So we're not to be passive, but we're to be vigilant and active. And we have a lot of other challenges in our life. I've had some challenges in my life that I never would have attempted it if I hadn't believed what God said. And when God called me to preach, I was like, God, is this the first mistake you've ever made? And I say that lightly. But God called me, and I believed he called me, so I surrendered my life. And then I went to seminary. Dr. Barber was a professor. I think I passed his course. I believe I did. He may have had a little grace on me, but at any rate, I had a number of courses through him, and even a summer course one summer. But the only way I could attempt that and say, I believe I can take on this challenge in my life was through God. And then to go preach or to take a church, my first church, I was scared to death. I could tell you some, I don't have time to tell you stories. But at any rate, I can tell you, I did it through trusting God. Leadership roles, whatever it might be, trusting God. And then number four, the perspective, and that is, all things. I can do all things. So what is the extent, A, what is the extent of the all things? The context, keep in mind that Paul is writing this statement to you while he's in prison. And that's important, I think, writing from a Roman prison. Philippians 4, 10 and 12, part of that I'll read. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, even if it's Texas or Colorado, our Coloradians are here today, even if it's there, wherever it may be, that I am satisfied therewith to be content, even if it's Louisiana. As some of you Texans call it, Lousiana. But I was raised there. It was a good place to be raised. But Paul here is in a horrible, Roman, stinking, terrible cell. He didn't have color television and a deck of cards and all of his meals furnished on time and rights and an attorney to represent him. But you don't see him moaning, you don't see him groaning, you don't see him doing this. And from prison, he wrote Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians, and he didn't gripe and complain about that. So sometimes we may feel like we're in circumstances that's like a sail. We can't get out of it. We can't see any way to get out of it. And it feels like a prison to us. We have burdens that seem totally insurmountable, that it just seems impossible. But he said here, all things, all things. And so we have to understand that. Then there are some limitations, of course. There are a couple of things that tie into this. Number one, under the limitations, is it has to be the will of God. God's not going to lead you to get up on the Eiffel Tower and jump and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. First of all, God will just go probably let you go ahead and hit the ground because you're that dumb. But at any rate, it has to be in the will of God. It has to be in his will, a task that we shouldn't fear when we're walking in his will and going his way. Then he equips us in order for us to do those things. Joshua said in 1:9, have not I commanded thee, God said, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You say, well, that was a promise to Joshua. What's a promise to you and me today also? And so it has to be in the will of God. And then I think the next thing would be the limitation that would be there would be the lack of faith, just the lack of faith. And that's a real problem when we don't believe God. A lot of times we think that God's strength for us is not going to be enough. We're in the middle of the problems. We don't understand that. Matthew 17:20 says that's a problem. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove and go yonder. In other words, the mountain, the problem, the difficulty that you have, if you have the faith to trust God in it. And then he said in Hebrews 1:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to trust him. And so when Jesus did miracles, he didn't demand a lot of faith and a lot of other things, just some faith. And he responded always to what? Faith. Always faith. For instance, in Matthew 9:20-22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. He honored her faith. He turned around and honored the faith. She just touched the hem of his garment. We need to have faith. So here's a question you could ask yourself today. What perspective do I have today on whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with? What is your perspective today? And we have a load of care. You know what your load is. Maybe it's not enough money to pay the bills, physical problems. I don't know, but I do know this. Christ is your strength. Christ is your strength for all things if you exercise that faith. And then number five, the power is through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, that presents a problem if you're not saved. I would imagine everybody in this building right here today is probably saved. That would be a pretty reasonable belief on my part, an assumption. But I can tell you, you can tell your friends or anyone else, if they're not saved, they can't claim these promises because it's through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. And all I could say to the unsaved is don't wait another day. I mean, if you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, get saved, get it done, and then claim that promise for yourself. Then the saved people, those of us that are saved, which I believe would be most everybody in this room, maybe everybody, would be, we have to discipline our minds and hearts to remember the power of God, to remember how powerful He is. And the power of God is not an it or something, but it is a person, and we get back again to the fact that it's Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Do we believe that? He said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. We don't like them, but He says, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, so that the power of Christ would be upon me. That's something we should all desire, the power of God, the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. And that's what He's saying, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we run into some trials and temptations, and sometimes we're tempted to do this. I can't handle it. I can't take it anymore. We'll say, Lord, I just can't do this. Or we might say, Lord, I can't go any further. Take away this burden. But that may not be the will of God. You remember Paul asked God to remove his thorn in the flesh. There are all kinds of theories about what it was. Ophthalmia, some kind of eye problem, and he couldn't see because one time he signed with his own name in large letters and so on and so forth. But we do know that God would not remove it, and he never lost it, as far as we know, in all of his life. But when he wrote to the Philippian believers with joy, and he wrote, in Matthew 11:28-30, God recorded this. Matthew said, Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'm not going to let you have problems and heavy ladens and all of that, but I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. During that time, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sometimes we don't feel like it is, but he says it is, and he allows that. So remember this, when God gives you trials, he has a plan for allowing those trials. We're not God. We don't see what he sees. We don't understand all of those things, but God has a plan, and God will bring that plan to pass in his power. And so when that happens sometimes, number one, we learn our weakness. We thought we were really people of faith. But when we go through those trials and difficulties, we learn maybe we need to step it up just a little bit more and it test it. And then as a result of that, we get to know him in a more personal way, a much more personal, intimate, close way as we go through those trials. If you're a person, maybe say you had been going to the gymnasium and you quit going to the gym and you waited a long time and finally you went back down to the gym and you begin to work out and do a little walking and maybe working out with the weights and all of that, and all of a sudden you think, man, I am absolutely fatigued and I just can't hardly handle this. But here's the key to it. You got to keep going. You can't quit. If you do, you're defeated. So you just have to push on and push on and go back and go back and go back and don't quit. And if you quit, you're not going to be working your muscles. But we don't need to quit on God. In the Christian life, we strive to grow. And a lot of times, as we strive to grow, we get a little fatigued. We get a little discouraged. And I have known people who have given up, quit, got mad at God, questioned God, got out of church. We cannot afford to do that. Never, never quit. We need God's strength. We need it all the time. If you don't depend on the strength of God, you will burn out. And a lot of Christians have had spiritual burnout. And then the promise, number six, the promise which strengtheneth me. How do we claim the promise? Well, very quickly, three ways. A, desiring Him. Desiring Him. What would be your number one chief desire today? How would you answer that? If somebody walks up and you say, what's your number one desire today? Your number one chief desire. Well, it must be the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be God. It's not just our financial security. Our number one desire is not just the relief from the problems we have, even from sickness, but the psalmist said it this way, 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. The psalmist had it right. He said, it's you, it's you. I'm depending on you, it's you. I've got my face focused on you. And so desiring Him, and then B, putting your faith in Him, which we've already talked a little bit about that, but we trust Him for everything. We trust Him for eternal salvation, do we not? We believe He can keep us out of hell, so we've got to trust Him through all things. If He can keep us out of hell, save our soul, redeem us, and justify us, then He can help us through every trial we face. And if it doesn't look hopeful, then sometimes what happens to us is we begin to doubt His goodness. But God is always good. And a lot of times we say, God is good. And somebody replies, God is good all the time. And that's true. He is good all the time, whether we see it that way or not. No matter what we trust Him, no matter what we face, we got to trust Him. And it has to be for His glory. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Then the third way is holding to Him. In other words, claim His promise. Never turn your back on Him. You have a tough situation, hold on to Him. God knows what He's doing, and we have to believe that. So the greatest friend we have is Jesus. Amen? And He bears your burdens if you let Him. And He understands your pain. Believe me, we've got a cross up there. Jesus understands your pain. And He invites you to come to His throne. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Go to Him. Rest in Him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ with your burdens, with no matter how tough and how heavy and how bad it may seem, we come to Him and He, and believe me, I believe it's this way, only He can give that strength, that real strength that we need. A little 5-year-old was trying to shoot a basketball to a basket. You've seen little kids try to reach it and they couldn't hit it, and they bounce it, and you laugh at them and all of that. But suppose a big old 6'4" daddy picks him up and puts him on his shoulders, and he walks up to it, and what does he do? Ka-chung, slam dunk, and then he smiles, and everybody laughs, and we brag on him, all of that. Well, our strength is like that 5-year-old's, and what we need to do is depend on the Lord and let Him lift us up, and we'll make the goal. He does it if we'll do it. Go to Him and know and believe that He has a plan for us, and that is that we succeed for His honor and glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your precious word. Bless it to our hearts. Help us to practice it. I know some of these dear people in this very auditorium today, many of us, probably most of us, have an unspoken request, a burden that only You can take care of. We turn to You, we look to You, we ask for Your help. Every day, every moment, in Jesus' name, amen.